Right, the empty tomb. So John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And then 19 to 30. On the evening of the first day that week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book.
Thanks very much, Theo. That's lovely. And it goes on to say, "But these have been written that you may believe." So there's two reactions there to the Easter story. Let's pray that Jesus helps us as we reflect on those. Jesus, help us to be like those who ran to the tomb on the first day, overjoyed, amazed, as we reflect on these verses. So there's one of pure excitement. It says the disciples were overjoyed. And the other one is doubt. Which are you? Are you excitement or are you doubt? Now, Thomas is the doubter, but he is an honest doubter. Doubt isn't necessarily a bad thing. And if you're an honest doubter, it can actually lead you into a greater relationship with Jesus. What do I mean by an honest doubter? Well, Thomas had some clear things he wanted to see. He wanted to see the nail marks in Jesus' hands and the split in his side where the Roman soldier thrust a lance. He said, "If I see those, I'll believe." And you can tell he was an honest doubter because when Jesus appeared with the nail marks, he said, "What? My Lord and my God." Did he ever touch the nail marks? I don't know. Maybe he was just so astounded, he just fell to his knees. But when he met the truth, he wanted the truth, he believed. That's honest doubt. Dishonest doubt is this, is when you say, "I need to see a miracle. I need to see Jesus. I need to see God at work." But then when God does do something, you don't believe. Why? Because actually it wasn't that you really wanted to know the facts. You just wanted an excuse not to follow him. So, for example, I know personally someone, I've prayed for them twice with some others. Twice they've been ill. They've said, "I want to see God at work." Twice God has healed them, very clearly. And they still don't follow Jesus. That's dishonest doubt. That's not honest doubt. That's actually having an excuse. But Thomas was an honest doubter. But then there's another group, aren't there? There are those who have faith. There's the disciples who were overjoyed. They believed Jesus. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, what's the evidence? Well, I haven't got time to go into all the evidence for the cross, but there's books and books and books about how much evidence there is. You're welcome to go into it. But a really good instant piece of evidence is the fact that Christianity is growing faster today than any other time in history. You probably don't know that because we tend not to see that here in Britain. But around the world, Christianity is growing rapidly. Some of the countries that we saw there, countries like Brazil, huge, huge numbers of Christians. And that is in an age where we think we're so clever, don't we? There's so much technology, and the general view is the cleverer we get, the less we'll need God. But actually, the reverse has been true. As we've got smarter and smarter as a world, more and more people have become Christians. Do you know how many Christians there are in the world? Roughly 1 to 2 thirds of the world's population, something like about 2 to 3 billion people. It's amazing, isn't it? And you've got to ask yourself, if you're really honest, the question you have to honestly ask yourself is, how has that happened? If this isn't true, 2,000 years ago, Jesus and 12 men, how on earth did they produce such a myth that it's lasted for 2,000 years despite being persecuted? One of the countries where the Christianity is growing the fastest is China, and that's where Christians are persecuted quite severely. There's a big clampdown at the moment. So what's going on? So that's a question to think about. But do you know, I think most people aren't either in the yes, I believe faith stage or honest doubt stage. They're in the I don't really care, I'm not really interested stage. And why is that? Because I think you may have put your faith in something else. People have put their faith in something else. What do they put it in? I don't know. Career maybe, just have a think to yourself. Where's my faith? The world getting better? Children working out okay, my life working out a bit better. You put tremendous faith in those things, and you actually got very little cause for it. Have a look at the world at the moment. Coronavirus, the most sophisticated point in history in terms of medical provision, and it's taken us all by surprise, hasn't it? Economic situation, not brilliant, is it? 2008, we had the crash. I thought we'd have recovered by now, and yet things are not good. Very sadly, the war in Ukraine. I think that's touched all of us. We want all those situations to be better, and Christians should be at the forefront of praying and engaging and championing. But also, I think God might be reminding us, actually, the world has always been like this. Jesus says there'll be wars and rumours of wars. There are always going to be, we hope, that the situation in Ukraine will be resolved, but it's likely there'll be another war somewhere else if history is anything to go by. And God is saying, why are you putting so much faith in human nature, in your ability to turn things around, when here is cast iron faith that I've overcome everything. See, I've overcome the world, Jesus says. And Christians, if you're following Jesus, remember Jesus is telling Thomas, who's already known him, who already is a believer, stop doubting and believe. And I think Jesus is saying that to all of us this morning. Stop doubting and believe. What's he saying? Be bold in your faith. If you've got faith, be big. Make it a big faith. Stop doubting and believe. What does that mean, having a big faith? It means putting everything in it. Who makes the most on the stock market? The people who take the biggest risks. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not a financial advisor. You want to look at my bank. But that's the way it goes in life. If you want a big show, you take a big risk. In sport, you spend a lot of money, don't you, on your Manchester City or your Liverpool, sorry, Man City fans, and you invest and you take a big risk. It's the same with faith. Jesus says, take the big risk on me. Be a man. Be a woman. Take a big risk in me. Have big faith. What does that mean? Well, today, do you know what that means? Enjoy your Easter eggs. I'm slightly serious there. You should be enjoying Easter more than anyone. You should be scoffing your eggs down, eating your hot cross buns, enjoying seeing people. Why? Because you've got more to celebrate than anyone else. That's why you're all here, and it's lovely to see you. God's saying, you stop doubting and believe. You thought there were going to be 5 people here this morning, Nathan, and look what's happened. Stop doubting and believe. Enjoy. You should be the one inviting people around to celebrate. Don't worry if no one's invited you. You invite them. Invite them out for a cup of tea or a hot cross bun or sit in the garden. Doesn't have to be anything flash. Jesus invited all his friends. He gives you the power to invite. You be the one to celebrate. You do you know, let me tell you a secret. Most people are looking for a friend. Aren't you? Aren't you looking for a friend? Aren't I looking for a friend? Most people like an invite. Most people like an invite. Sometimes they can't make it. You be the one to invite. You've got the Easter inside. You have that big faith. Be bold. Be bright. What else does it mean? Invite Jesus into your marriage. Let his love come in. Be bold. Be bright. Bring him in. Bring him into the way you bring up your children. Bring him into the way you do your work. Be a good worker. Do a quality job. Care for your teammates. Care for your team. Be a good player. Be a good family member. Love your family, even when you don't feel like loving them. Love them. Stop doubting and believe. That's the message this morning. Be bright. Be bold. Jesus is risen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Not bad. Let's sing, shall we? Let's stand to sing the rest.